This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Now, Jill Hennessy, Minister for Health, is on the phone, and we're going to speak to her in just a moment on gay conversion therapy and what the Victorian government plans to do about this and what they can do about this. Tass.
Good morning, Jill Hennessy, Minister for Health. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Good morning to you.
Great to have you on air again. So we're very interested in exploring this issue of gay conversion therapy. We've heard that you have initiated an inquiry that's going to be taken by the Health Complaints Commissioner of Victoria. What we're interested in understanding is what you are hoping to achieve through that inquiry, and then what powers may exist within the Victorian government to be able to prevent people from performing gay conversion therapy.
Well, thanks very much. And yes, it is correct that I have instructed the Health Complaints Commissioner in Victoria to conduct an inquiry into the incidence and prevalence of gay conversion therapy. We've certainly been made aware of a number of instances and a number of individuals who've had experiences that have been incredibly harmful. And one of the great challenges has been about encouraging people to tell their stories. Many of the correspondence that we've been getting has been anonymous, and we wanted to provide a safe setting for people to be able to outline what their experiences have been, particularly when that's occurred in a spiritual counselling setting that has then gradually morphed into what we would understand as an attempt to convert someone's sexuality, often with pretty disastrous life and psychological consequences. So first of all, we want to understand the settings that this is occurring in. And part of the great challenge when we first established the Health Complaints Commissioner was sought to outlaw dodgy and rogue people purporting to provide health services that had no impact. And often that occurs in a commercial setting. Often, and certainly the people that have contacted us about their experiences, the attempted gay conversion therapy settings have not been in a commercial setting. They've been often in a spiritual setting. And so that also means we need to understand what might be the better tools of regulation we could use if people are being harmed in a setting which doesn't necessarily involve commercial or fee-for-service activities.
And so what tools might be available, given that, often churches and faith-based organisations have their own laws that govern their own practices that don't necessarily interface
canon
with
law.
Civil law.
Canon law,
for example.
Well, the law of the land is the law of the land, as far as I am concerned. And whilst I acknowledge that many spiritual and religious organisations do have their own practices, and some of those practices are sourced in things like canon law, often in this setting we see ourselves in a bit of a debate around what some would purport to be freedom of religion. And it is my view, and certainly the cases that I'm aware of, is a freedom of religion does not mean a freedom to harm a person. And in the event that we identify practices occurring that are harmful to people, we would use our legislative powers to ensure that that particular behaviour was prohibited. Now, I know this always, and we've kind of seen this flare up after the introduction of the marriage equality, this
yes.
whole debate around freedom of religion versus a person's right to live their life without interference. what I am committed to doing is ensuring that whether or not it is in a healthcare setting or a spiritual setting, that activities are not harming a person's health and well-being. And that will be the framework or the rubric that I use when looking at potential legal responses to anyone being harmed in any setting.
Jill, it's Macro. I wanted to ask, so if someone wants to make a report or a complaint about this practice, how do they do that? They do that to the Health Complaints Commissioner?
Yes, they do. Anyone who wants to share their experiences should contact the Health Complaints Commission on 1300 582 113, all, of course, online. Certainly, I know that the Health Complaints Commissioner has worked with her staff in order to be able to provide a very supportive setting and environment in order for people to tell their stories. And certainly, because often it's occurred with the cooperation of a person's family as well. So it is a particularly challenging space for some people to want to be able to tell their stories. But we are very keen to understand where and how this might be occurring. We want to move the reports of harm that we have been advised of from the anecdotal into understanding how is this occurring systematically, therefore what might our systematic response be back to it.
Sounds like a really important piece of work. Do you have bipartisan support for this, Jill?
Look,
what's the opposition's position on this?
They've been silent thus far on it. I am also very conscious of a growing appetite within some sections of the Liberal Party for what I would call increasing conservatism within the Parliament. And I feel, protective or anxious about that in light of the importance of several reforms we've seen in the Parliament over the last 10 years, from abortion being decriminalised, and as we saw the fantastic results in Ireland last week, to getting important anti-discrimination measures in place, and of course assisted dying through the Victorian Parliament last year. And I have an anxiety that the growing march of fundamentalism, to want of a better term, within the Liberal Party and more generally in parliaments across Australia potentially puts all of those advances at risk. And I think we've always got to be conscious that it's not the extreme voices of a few that determine the laws or the many. So I will continue to do this work I will continue to make the case that we've got to make sure we're reflecting the diversity and the wide breadth of views in our community and not let certain sectional, very conservative, fundamental voices dominate important social and economic policy.
Great. That's great to hear that, Jill. And we have to go, but I want to thank you for your quick response recently on the mandatory sentencing issue. You spoke up very quickly and very strongly. And I know you're driving that hard with your colleague and the Premier. Thank you.
I am, and we've got to keep our paramedics safe. There's no two ways about it. You know, yesterday, today and tomorrow, three paramedics will be attacked. Like, it is a very serious issue. And we've got to, from the accountability to the prevention, we've just got to keep working harder and harder to keep all of our emergency services safe. I represent paramedics through my portfolio, and look, we can't do enough, and we've just got to make sure we keep focused on doing more.
I agree.
Jill, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's always great to hear from you. Thank you for your advocacy and hard work. You certainly have the support of this studio, and I know many aspects of our community as well.
Thank you kindly, guys. Have a wonderful show today.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.